good to see everyone this morning. It's good to be back. Had a good meeting at Ray's Branch this past week. I really enjoyed being with the brethren there, especially in their homes and the times that we had to be together and get to know each other. I attended many of their gospel meetings. They've attended many of ours, but you just kind of acquainted with each other. It was good to get to know them. The lessons were well received, and we're thankful for that week. But it's good to be back and good to see everyone. Good to see the usuries back with us. And who else has been out that I miss? I guess that's about it. It's good for us to be back anyway. It's good to see everyone. We missed you. Got a couple of announcements to make just before we begin our sermon. The first one that we can rejoice about is that this past Monday we paid our building off. So it is free and clear, and that means we are free and clear to start phase two. We will immediately go into planning for building onto the back part of this as our original plan. Bigger classrooms, more classrooms, just improve our facilities here and to be able to anticipate growth. That's the way we built this to begin with, was that this is kind of stage one, and build the auditorium to where it could accommodate the growth of stage two, and then when we were ready, add classrooms and probably more parking out the back side of the building. So that'll be in the planning stages here for a little bit, and then hopefully we'll get started on building very soon, maybe next year. The other announcement that I want to make is that if you've been following the COVID numbers in Warren County, you will have noticed that they have come down about 100 per week from what they had previously been. They've been running up to like 235 incidences a week. It is now down to, this past week it's been like 135 to 160. But anyway, the trend is going down. And so we have decided that we will resume our full schedule beginning next Sunday. So we will have morning Bible study, morning worship, our 5 o'clock evening worship, and, of course, our Wednesday evening Bible study. Also, we are going to change our mask policy. It will be up to the individual as to whether they want to wear a mask or not wear a mask. It will be completely your choice. We will, for a while, until the numbers come down even more, we will continue to practice the social distancing of, you know, certain pews. We'll not set in those until the numbers come down some more. We've been acquainted with COVID long enough now that we've pretty well got its number. We know how it works. We know how it spreads. We know what prevents it, and we know what doesn't prevent it. The most important thing that you can do if you want to keep from getting COVID is practice social distancing of at least 6 feet, I would say, mask or no mask. Because the mask, as Dr. Fauci said at the very beginning of COVID, doesn't screen out the virus anyway. He was correct when he said that. I have studied it. People who have put it to the scientific test, the mask at most, even a N95 mask, screens out no more than 10% of the virus. Now, you can go to all those studies and check them out yourself, or you can just use a little bit of common sense. When you go to buy a furnace filter, they have different grades of furnace filters that you can buy, all the way from your most economical to the most effective, and the most effective is the one that filters viruses, it says on the package. And then look at the difference between your economical furnace filter and that one that screens out the viruses, and there's a big difference as to what you can and cannot see through there. Our little paper mask are, they are meant to stop particles from falling off of somebody's face into an open wound. And they are effective for doing that. I will say this about the mask. Let's not judge each other in regards to it. There have been congregations that have split over the issue. We have not, and I hope we will not. I will say this about the mask. If you are talking to someone who is wearing a mask, obviously they're very concerned. Respect their position and wear a mask if you're going to talk to them. If you're, you know, within 6 feet of them. But let's be respectful of each other, and I'm sure that we'll continue to go on just fine. Did I forget anything? Okay. All right. It's easy to do when you're up here. And you don't have things written down. But I was thinking about those two things, really, in preparation for this lesson. Number one, our building, and rejoicing in the fact that it's paid off. And buildings are built on a foundation. And Christ Church is not a building. Nevertheless, it is built upon a foundation. It's built upon a foundation of truth. When you're talking about COVID, there's a lot of untruths circulating around that are very popular, even in our government, and echoed by our government media. And so I want to talk about true truth and true foundations this morning. If you're going to do that, I think the logical place to start is Matthew chapter 16 and verses 13 through 19. It says, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say that you are John the Baptist, some say that you're Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Notice that Jesus asked the question, who do men say that I am? Well, men were saying a lot of things about who Jesus was, just like today. Who do men say that Jesus is? Oh, he was a good person. He was a religious leader. He was a prophet, maybe. People say a lot of different things about who they think Jesus is. But he asked them, but who do you say that I am? Who do you say that Jesus is? That's the important answer. Not what everybody else is saying about Jesus, but who do you say Jesus is? Simon answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Do you believe that? Would that be your answer? You are the Christ, You are the Messiah. You are the anointed of God, the Son of God. Jesus answered and said, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, Simon son of Jonah. For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I say to you that you are Peter, just as you have confidently and with assurance said that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God. I am acknowledging that you are Peter, the son of Jonah." And then he says, "On this rock I will build my church." On this rock, on this foundation. If you're going to build a building, you'd build it on a foundation, wouldn't you? The foundation of Christ's church is the truth that he is the Messiah, the Christ, the anointed of God, the Son of God. If you believe any less of than that of who Jesus is, you do not believe the truth. You're not part of this foundation. On this rock, I will build my church. So the church, or the saved, are built on the truth that Jesus the Christ is the Son of God. If you don't believe that, then you're not a part of this body of the saved that belongs to Jesus Christ. Jesus, the truth, is the firm foundation of our salvation. That's what I want to explore with you and recognize with you today, that Jesus is in fact the foundation of our salvation. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 says, "God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Why would he have to die for us? Well, Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 says, "The wages of sin is death." The price of sin is death. I don't want to pay that price myself. I don't want to be separated from God. But that's the price. And unless somebody pays the price for me, I'm going to be separated from God. God loved us so much, loved sinners so much, that he sent his only Son, that whoever trusts and obeys him will not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus paid the price of our sin in his death. He died to pay the price of our sin. He died for us. 1 Peter 1 and verses 18 and 19 says it a little bit different. He says, "Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from your aimless conduct received by the traditions of men." It's like when we sinned. Remember what again, you go back to Romans chapter 6, and what Paul is exploring with us there. He says, "Look, you're the servants of someone. You're either a servant of sin or you are a servant of righteousness. You are either a servant of God or a servant of Satan. And when you sinned, you sold your soul to Satan. He's holding your soul hostage." But what? How do you redeem someone who's been taken hostage. You pay a price. What's the price? The price is death. The price is death. Not silver and gold. Not all the gold that's ever been on the planet, or all the silver that's ever been on the planet, or all the precious metals, or all whatever you value on this planet is not worth your soul. Only death will pay the price. And Jesus paid the price for you. You were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. All of those sacrifices that were offered in Old Testament times, patriarchal period, Mosaic period, those were all a type of the blood that would be shed by Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22 says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. So that tells us the type of death that was required. It was a death that required the shedding of blood. Just hitting Jesus over the head and killing him that way would not suffice. It's a death that requires the shedding of blood. You might say, well, why would that be? What are we told in Genesis chapter 6? That the life is where? It's in the blood. It's in the blood. So his life was shed. His death came by the shedding of his blood to pay the price for our sins. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21 says, he made him, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Without him, we would have no hope. It wouldn't matter not how good we were after we had sinned, how much we were sorry for our sin, how much we turned from our sin. We won't pay the price for our sin. Only death pays the price. And Jesus paid that price for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. Matthew 7, in verses 24 through 27, Jesus said, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on a rock. If you're going to build a house, how do you want to build it? Where do you want to build it? You want to build it just on the earth? Or do you want to dig down and get to the rocks or lay rocks? You know, there's a lot of buildings around here today and have been built. And as people built them, they realized that these need to be on rock. You can't just build them on the dirt. And they'd bring in rocks from wherever they could get them, and get them there and lay them down. That would be their foundation and start building upon that. He says, if you hear these sayings of mine and do them, you'll be like a man who built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall because it was founded on a rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, I will liken to a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. And everybody listening to Jesus say, yeah, we've seen that happen. We've learned by experience that that doesn't work. And Jesus says, you need to learn from this word of truth made flesh. It doesn't work in the spiritual realm either. Be founded on the rock of truth. On this rock, Jesus said, on this foundation, I will build my church, my body of the saved, on the truth that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God. In Acts chapter 2, you see this taking place as people were amazed at the miracles that were taking place on that first Pentecost after the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. There was a sound like a mighty rushing wind, but there was no wind. It was as still as it is in here, only there was a sound like a mighty rushing wind. There was fire that descended from heaven and split and came to rest upon hovering over the heads of each of the apostles. What does this mean? To which Peter would respond, men of Israel, hear these words. Joel had prophesied that this is the fulfillment. Peter said this is the fulfillment of Joel's prophecy, that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And he concluded his sermon by saying, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know." Not only is there this miracle, but you know about the miracles of Jesus. You've seen the lame walk. You've seen the blind see. You've seen all manner of miracles, including people being raised from the dead. Lazarus, most recently. They had seen that. They knew about that. Him being delivered by the determinate purpose and foreknowledge of God. This is all part of God's plan. That Jesus would die so that we might live. You have taken by lawless hands and have crucified him and put him to death. He foresaw that this would happen. He planned that it would happen. He didn't cause wicked hands to do it, but he knew wicked hands would. Whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. Yes, Jesus died, but he's not dead. Jesus is alive. He rose from the dead. Verse 30, he continues, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, who you crucified, both Lord and Christ." Joel prophesied, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." The question is, who is the Lord? Peter has just proven to them that Jesus of Nazareth, who they crucified, was Lord. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. Why? Because they had spoken the truth. You couldn't argue with the truth that had been presented. If you were of an honest heart, you could not argue with what Peter said. They were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And as Peter was speaking, as the Holy Spirit was giving him the words, he said, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Verse 41 says, "Those that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day were added unto them 3,000 souls." And as you come to the last verse of Acts chapter 2, it says, "The Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." Those who, like Peter, acknowledge that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Son of God. Jesus has all authority. Jesus is the one who told us to repent and be baptized for the remission of our sins. Except we repent, we will perish. But if we repent and if we confess him, and if we obey him in baptism, we are added to the body of the saved, just like these were on the first Pentecost after the resurrection of Jesus from the dead and the days that followed and continue to follow even to this day. The foundation of our foundation is the foundation of our salvation is indeed Jesus, the truth. I want us to be impressed with that. When Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church," he was talking about the foundation. And he was talking about the foundational truth that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That he is the very embodiment of the truth of God. We are to obey him in all that he teaches. In the 14th chapter of John, verse 1, Jesus said to his apostles, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would tell you so. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way, you know." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" And Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him. You have seen him in me," is what Jesus is saying, "that I reflect the very image of my heavenly Father. I am the truth. I am the way. I am the life. You don't have to pay the price of death for your sin. You can have life in me." In verse 15, he said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And then verses 23 and 24, Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine," is not merely mine, but more importantly, it is the Father's who sent me. Throughout his ministry, Jesus said, "Things that I'm teaching you do not originate with me. They originate with my Father." He is truth. And if we love him, if we keep his commandments, we are walking in truth. The gospel is the blueprint of our foundation. You know, I remember when we built this building, when we ordered it. That was a process that I don't want to get back in. I don't want to review all of that. But, of course, we hired a contractor to put the building up for us. And I remember coming out here and seeing the foundation. Pretty substantial foundation. We've got a good foundation underneath this building. But, you know, before you lay a foundation, Pax, you can correct me if I'm wrong. Before you lay a foundation, you have to have a blueprint for it. Or you should, unless Pax might not need to have a blueprint. He's probably got it in his head. But usually a contractor wants to have a blueprint for that foundation. Because if the foundation is wrong, everything's going to be wrong. Am I right, Bruce? If you're ordering material and you want it to fit a certain, then your foundation's got to be right. Well, we've got a blueprint for our foundation of truth. If you want to look at it that way, you might say, well, the truth is a blueprint. And yeah, you make that point too. But for our purposes this morning, the gospel is the blueprint. It reveals, if you will, the foundation and how it is to be built and how it's to be built upon. Romans 1, verses 16 and 17, Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it," the gospel, "is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it," in the gospel, "the righteousness of God is revealed. From faith," God is the source of faith, "to faith," we are the subjects of faith. "As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Everyone who believes will be among those who live by faith." Faith comes, how? By hearing the Word of God. The Word of God is truth. Jesus is truth because He is the Word of God in the flesh. As we abide in the Word of His truth, we abide in Jesus, and Jesus says, I abide in you, and my Father abides in you. Building on this firm foundation, how sure is your salvation? Think about that. Are you saved? Well, I think so. I hope so. Let me tell you something. When we started building this building, and we ordered, you know, this particular building is a steel building. You know, the I-beams are so long, there is just so much material, and it's all got to fit together. In order for it to fit together, foundation's got to be right. Foundation's off, nothing's going to fit. When the building got here, when the foundation was laid, and you asked the contractor, is this the right size? Have you ever built a house? You ever built a house and went out to the building site and they, you know, lay the foundation and stuff, and you stand out there and look at it? Every time I've ever looked at a foundation, I said, this ain't going to be big enough. But it always is. What we ordered isn't going to fit on this. Yeah, it will. With absolute confidence, they said, yep, this is it. It's going to fit. We don't have to hope we're going to be saved, although we're saved by hope. We don't have to think we're going to be saved, although we have to think in order to be saved. We can know we're saved by comparing the way we're living by the way God has told us to live. If you love me, keep my commandments. And that's about 1,000 other sermons. How to live. And you realize that. The question, though, for you, because you know, as you sit here today, whether you are building on this sure foundation of truth that Jesus has revealed to us, or you are not, you know whether you believe Jesus is the Son of God or not. You know whether you have turned from your sins to walk in His righteousness or not. You know whether you are confessing Jesus, professing Jesus every day or not. You know whether you have been baptized for the remission of your sins or not. You know whether you are abiding in the Word of God or not. Knowing the truth, being made free from sin. If you're here today and you're getting honest with yourself, you say, I need to make correction in my life. I need to get back to the foundation of true salvation in Jesus Christ. It's there that His righteousness is revealed, and I need to be living in that. If you haven't obeyed the gospel, haven't been baptized for the remission of your sins, please do so today. Everything is ready. If you're here today and a child of God out of favor with Him because you're harboring sin or you're building on your life in a manner out of the parameters of the foundation of truth, you are at odds with truth and you need to make correction, make that correction today. Let us pray with you and for you. If you're subject to the invitation in any way, please come as we stand and sing this song.